Welcome to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzi. Welcome. On our episode today, we have Kelly Bolton. She is the new VP of A&R for Warner Records. And I think you're going to love this episode. We do talk about her role, but we really dive into the art of A&R and what that means for her. I really think you're going to enjoy what she has to share. So buckle in, take a listen. Talk to you soon. Hey, welcome back, AIMP Pubcasters. I am excited to jump into our episode today. We have with me my friend and guest, Kelly Bolton, who is the new VP of A&R at Warner Records. Technically, that's LA, right? You're LA based? Correct.
Yes.
All right. Glad I could get that point right. Why don't we jump in as I usually do, Kelly, and give us a little background on you, like what got you to here?
Yeah, really, actually, I started, like many of us do, with internships, kind of working for free. My first stop was actually in management at TKO, artist management, working as an intern, which that beautifully evolved into me stalking Showdog Universal on the floor above us. So I got to kind of learn the label ropes from the folks there, Mark Wright, Cliff Aldrich. It really started my love affair with A&R. I got to do brand management and got to be on the road for a summer with Toby Keith, working alongside his brands and assisting TK and those folks out there for a summer. I was a receptionist. I was doing all just kind of odds and ends, but it really allowed me to decide that I was in love with songwriters, artists, and really the creative side. Cliff Aldrich actually is the one that told me that if I wanted to do A&R, I should try to go do publishing first. He was the one that kind of gave me this advice of, Nashville's a town of songwriters and producers, and that's where the artists are going to flock. And if you want to learn how to speak that language and understand how to be a good A&R person, you need to go to ground zero, where that is. So Black River and Celia Froelich took a swing on me in the early days over there. And that was kind of my first publishing stint. And I learned over there, got to watch Josh Osborne absolutely climb through the ranks and just crush with Casey Musgraves and Sam Hunt and Blake Shelton and Keith Urban. He was just on fire. That was really his first big set of, you know, a big run for him. And that was really fun. Kelsey Ballerini was obviously over there. And Josh Kerr, Forrest Whitehead, some of those, Scott Stepakoff was there. I got to really learn the publishing ropes in that office under Celia, really trying to learn how to have a creative heart and also understand the business etiquette around it all. That was my first stop. And then had a stint over at Big Deal with Kenny McPherson and Pete Robinson, Casey Robinson, and all those guys. And I landed with Ashley Gourley after that. And I was there. I was there working alongside Ashley and Tape Room Music for the last 6 years. And it was a beautiful, beautiful 6 years. I'm really proud of the work that we did together. Yeah, all of this publishing experience, you know, all of that prior to Ashley, and then of course working with Ashley was kind of the epicenter of where I got to know lots of different artists, because if you know anything about Ashley Gourley, it's that he's on every project. And so getting to build some artist relationships and some producer relationships around some of those artists really teed me up for where I am now, and I'm really proud of that.
That's a hell of a background, I gotta say. You mentioned a couple things I want to dig into here.
Sure.
Because a lot of my audience, which I don't know if I explained before we started recording, is a lot of up and coming, I mean, as well as, like, you know, writers, the usual crew, but definitely a lot of students listen to this. So you mentioned a few times that Cliff Aldrich said you should get into publishing to learn, to understand the A&R role. So why don't you, with all your experience, kind of dive into what specifically are some of the things you picked up that gave you the skill set to do what you're doing now?
Yeah. I always wanted to do A&R because I love the creation of art being put out into the world. And I think you can look at that a number of different ways. I think, especially across genres, but specifically country, that is songwriting at its core. For me, getting to know the tastemakers in Nashville, what's been so interesting is that, and I think this is a thread. This is something else Cliff taught me too. But he was like, you're going to rise with your class. You're going to kind of, you know, you're, he always kind of likened it to high school classes. He was like, you're an incoming freshman. When I met him, you know, he was like, there are also writers and producers who are incoming freshmen. And you're going to continue to get to know your peer group just as heavily as you're striving to meet the folks who are juniors and seniors, how desperately you kind of want to seek out that advice from the senior or junior class. He was like, it is just as important to get to know your peer group. And he meant in every way, he meant on this side of the desk and the creative side. And so it was a lot easier for me to dig in with people my age that were creative because we had more time. So we got to explore together. You're living life together as young people, but what you don't realize is that you're actually developing together. That goes creative and executive side, because it is kind of one and the same, especially if you want to do A&R. And I think learning, kind of being in that experiential piece of it with the creatives around you and your fellow publishers, your fellow folks that are, you know, in the mailroom at CAA or whatever that looks like, it's, to me, it's just so important to dig in early there, because not only are you learning who, you're living life with people who are going to be artists in 10 years, you're learning in real time how to be helpful to an artist later and or creative later. And the second piece of this is, it's actually shocking to me. I find a lot of folks are not in this anymore for the music side, but I mean, I'd give anything to be passionate about, like, you know, teeth or being a doctor or something. But unfortunately, I love music. And so because of that, I'm a big theory nerd. I'm a big, you know, produce what's going on in the production nerd. I'm a big, like, what melodic contour does this artist like? So I think learning to speak that language, you get to do that best with songwriters in Nashville, and they welcome it. And so what Cliff always encouraged was strengthen that vocabulary, strengthen that skill set. I loved writers because I felt that they are the artists kind of in their own way. No matter what you classify a creative person as in town, getting to know that person is going to give you an understanding of the creative process, no matter how far along you are in your career, whether you're just starting out or if you start out on one side and you kind of get into this other space later. To me, it's the songwriters that and the producers in town. And the artists are in love with these people here. And session players respect writers. I mean, it starts with songwriters to me in town.
There's two very important things for any creative coming in, whether you're an artist, even on our side as creatives, which I think we sometimes forget that on the executive side is that you need to be confident, but also teachable. So you pick up the things you need to know, but be confident in that uniqueness that makes you you. Like, even you as an A&R person are going to be different than me as an A&R person. You're going to hear things different. I think I was very lucky to grow up in a time in a music business where sometimes more going straight to the executive, but a lot of the A&R people that I grew up with and the producers that I grew up with were as popular or were like almost artists themselves. They had this, this strong personality that brought out this great art. And I think this is a personal opinion that we've lost some of that a little bit, where people are less risk-taking on the creative side, on the business. I get it. There's a lot of money involved in it. And I feel like we're turning that corner a little bit. Maybe if you want to speak to that too. It feels like we are taking a few more risks, hence you being a LA direct report here in Nashville might lend to that. What are your thoughts on that?
It's not only is it there's no penalty for releasing songs that don't quote unquote attach or pop off or whatever, but the fans feel like they are part of the artist development process. And I think, did you see that statistic that was like, when the new artist category at the Grammys came out, what did it say? Something like the average of like all of those acts was of development. It was 7 years or something.
It was 7 years. I saw the same thing. Yeah.
And yet they're categorized as a new artist. And I think that is such an important part of this. And that's all stuff that I think, you know, we know inherently is to be true, But the fact that the fans are now part of that, they're, like you said, there's no secret club going on anymore. It's kind of all, the fourth wall is broken on some of the stuff, which is, you can view as a good or a bad thing. I still think artist development and it being kind of creating without boundary is the most important part. Because it's all very gray. Creative is so gray. So I think our job, it is our responsibility as an A&R to foster that and to tap in where, you know, you can, as an artist, they can often get lost in the sauce. And it's our job to kind of go, this is what you're naturally good at. It's like what we were saying earlier, you know, own what makes you you. And let's try to find a through line between all of this. I still think that is the most important piece of all of it. And I think that is a very strong responsibility and a big one that comes through for folks in our chairs.
Whether you're an artist, a songwriter, or an executive, you build your, I call it your kitchen table, friends, your kitchen cabinet.
Oh, I love that.
I did not get that. I stole that idea from somebody I heard, so I'm not that genius, but I have it. Even as an artist, it's so important to stay authentic, but it's so important to also have some people around you trust to help guide you through these processes that you go through.
Yeah.
And lean in, because it is good to get a little out there and try some things, but you need to trust
totally.
The people. Maybe just bring it back a hair or something.
Or push you back out into the abandonment of, like, sometimes you just got to go get weird, you know? I mean, I think, like, you got to get weird. I mean, getting weird is also, like, good for the executive side. I mean, I think you have to do it and you know, people you meet, doing all the experiences you do as an executive or sign up for, or, you know, I mean, I shook up my whole life taking this job. I totally did. I shook up my entire existence. I have been doing publishing for a decade and made this move. And I was like, I have lost my mind. But the reality is, you know, A&R was always the dream, and A&R and publishing, you know, I mean, I believe the publishers in town are some of the best A&R folks. You know, it's like we, the publishing community and the writers that surround it, there's just nothing like it. And I think I had the courage to go do something crazy, which is leave Tape Room, which is like family to me. And go do something like a little baby bird flying out of a nest or something. I mean, I told Hunter Phelps, I said, you know, I actually kind of, I in some ways, I can't totally feel it all the way because I never will. But I said, is this what it's like to have a, you know, a number one song? You climb this mountain, you get to the peak and you think, yes. And then you get to that spot and you feel like you're kind of an expert. You can say you've rung this bell. You're really proud of it. And then only to realize you're standing at the base of another mountain. And he was like, or I think I said that about me leaving publishing and going into A&R and all the things I was going to have to learn and kind of in many ways start over. And he was like, yeah, try having a number one song and trying to do it again. I mean, as a writer, he was like, that's what we feel all the time, you know? So I think it's also good to shake yourself up. That's just life. You know, I think it's just good to shake your stuff up a little bit.
You are in a unique position. And in A&R, we've seen changing in Nashville. There's a lot of discussion about the coastal labels, as they like to call them now. That's a new catchphrase of the LA and New York getting more involved in Nashville, because there's still Warner Nashville. But again, you're reporting to Aaron and the LA office. What is let's just speak to the transition and to your role. Like, exactly what does that look like?
LA or Nashville, like however you want to say it. I just think a strong team and strong interest in the genre is really, really becoming true for these quote unquote coastals. And its country is really, the genre itself is wider than it's ever been. So I think, you know, like a Zach Bryan opening up a lane, or like Old 60, or, you know, you could look at even like Wyatt Flores, like some of these sounds, Castellos, like all of those artists I just named are totally different. But it's really wide, the lane is really, really wide. So I do think there's an appetite for it now more than ever.
In saying and talking about artists, is there anything specific you're looking for? What is it you're trying to keep your eye on? You don't have to name specific artists, but what is it the new A&R person here? What are you looking for?
We're all privy to what we're calling data. I think all of us are aware of it. So, you know, I think we have to look at what is getting response. I mean, that this is the honest answer is we look at what is happening, what's popping. Like, are people getting a huge response on socials? Is something converting really beautifully from a social platform to a Spotify or an Apple or something? You know, we look at that for sure. It's a really good, but you can't only be that. Our job has to also be discerning a moment from an artist, or discerning something might be happening to, is this artist proposition really strong? Is this real? You know, quality over quantity is definitely how that's the Warner ethos, I can assure you. We're the smallest roster of the majors. So we definitely don't just try to go grab. We really try to discern and make a decision about the artist. Do we believe in the longevity? Do we believe that we're the right fit for this person? Can we go in and actually make this better and more successful? And so to me, there's no real, like, what we're looking for is in many ways generic. Is it great? Is the potential great? It's not, is it, do I like this? Is where usually where I start. It's usually where I start. Do I like this? Okay, I do. All right. Typically for me, I cannot help but be partial to songwriters. So if the artist is a really strong songwriter, I think that's pretty obvious why I go there. It is instinct at this point. That's really, and does the artist have a really strong, strong, strong belief in themselves, and they're not chasing or imitating. It's total belief in what or who they are. And it just kind of is it's kind of like fairy dust or something. You can't quite see it. You can't quite explain it. It's just kind of there. But I think that raw desire to do this, and that they'd be doing it regardless, I think that's a huge piece of it. And you got to, like, the work ethic. This is not for the faint of heart, especially now being on this side, like you were saying earlier about seeing Jordan's calendar. It's like, this is insane. Being an artist is crazy. You have to be totally nuts to do it, but you also have to have an insatiable work ethic. You have to want this every single day. And on the days where it's gnarly, you have to want it more because you're having a bad day. And so you want it more than you did. I kind of look at these like more general qualities, but it starts with, do I like this? Or yes, it's having a moment. Do I like it? And do I think that it's going to go pack further than getting a reaction from something? Is the music solid? Are they good songwriters? But it starts with, do I like this?
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzi. Producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.